Well, good morning again. It's good to be here with you. Kind of warmed up a little quicker than I thought it would. So if you don't know this, these bulletins make really good fans. And the faster you fan, the hotter I realize I am and the faster I preach. So it's a win-win situation for everybody today, but glad you're here today. We're going to deviate a little bit off of our sermon series of the Ten Commandments, and we're going to talk today about serving. This is our Ministry Sunday, we're calling it, a day for you to learn more about what all we do here at Church of the Rockies through our different outreach events and our different services and things. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of John. And we will begin reading at John chapter 13. Looking at some verses there, and here in just a second. Looks like I did a real good thing with all of this morning. I got my pages mixed up, but we'll get there, I promise. But looking at John chapter 13 this morning, verses 3 through 5, and then verses 12 through 17. We'll read those in just a second. Every Christian knows that Jesus Christ came to earth to be the ultimate sacrifice. He came to do what could not be done through any other means. He came to be the one and only, the complete, final sacrifice for all of the world's sins. There should be no doubt in any Christian's mind that's what Jesus Christ came to do, because it is. But while he came to earth and he lived here for 33 years, he practiced his life in front of his disciples and in front of the known world at that time, the way in which he wanted us to live. He came as an example for us to follow. He came as an example for us to lead by in today's world. He came as a servant. He did not come riding in on a great white horse. He'll do that one day. He did not come ruling on a throne over the earth. He'll do that one day too. But he came as a simple servant to show the way in which we as Christians are to live. If you have your Bibles, let's look at John chapter 13. Begin reading at verse 3. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, he took off his outer garment and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that he wrapped around him. And going down to verse 12. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. And he said, "Do you understand what I have done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I am your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly, I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." Heavenly Father, we just come to you today, God, Lord, one more time this morning. I just pray right now, Father God, that you'll just open up our hearts and our ears to hear these words, God. Lord Jesus, that you will just speak through me today, God. This is not about me. This is not about anything of my own, God. This is your words and your work, God, and your wisdom today. Lord, I pray all of this in your name, in the name of Jesus. I'm going to knock it down. It's blowing all the papers everywhere. But I do appreciate it greatly. Jesus was sent to serve. He was sent to serve. Several times we see in the Bible where Christ humbled himself to show us the way. When he came from heaven to earth, he humbled himself. The Creator became the created. He went from the glory of heaven to the world to live. Another time we see his humility is when he is baptized in the Jordan River by John the Baptist. The Bible says he knew no sin, but he stepped into the water to be baptized, symbolizing he was taking on every sin of the world and would wash every sin away. He humbled himself into the Jordan River to be baptized. And again, right here in John 13, he humbled himself. It says he took off his outer garment, and he took a towel, and he wrapped it around his waist. And he went up to the feet of his disciples, and he began to wash their feet. They didn't have on nice shoes that covered their feet. They had on sandals. They walked everywhere they went in sandals or maybe even barefooted. They didn't have nice sidewalks that were clean. I don't think they had a lot of grass to walk on. They walked in dirty streets. Dirty streets that were occupied by dirty animals. So they had pretty dirty feet. And our Savior, their Master, he walks up and he kneels down and he begins to wash dirty feet. Let me tell you a little bit about washing feet in this time frame. It was considered the lowest thing in the world. It was the lowest thing a slave could do. It was considered so bad to wash feet that the Jewish slaves were not even required to do it. Only Gentile slaves required to wash other people's feet. That's how bad it was. They didn't want to touch feet. I'm kind of in that boat. But our Lord and Savior, he kneels down and he washes the feet of his disciples. The Master humbled himself to the place of the servant and he washed their feet. I can't imagine what they was thinking. It must have been mind-blowing for those 12 men to be sitting there. And they watched Jesus, the man they had learned under for 3 years, the man that they had identified as the Messiah, the man whom they knew would redeem them, the one they called Master, was bowing down and washing their feet. Now, I just wonder what them other 11 disciples thought when he grabbed that first foot off that one disciple. I hope, really and truly, they sat there and they thought, oh my Lord, we've missed it again. Because they should have thought, here we are serving the Master, and we didn't think about washing his feet. We didn't think about making a way for his feet to be clean. Jesus washed their feet that day, they probably did stink. But he didn't wash their feet because of the odor. He washed their feet because he wanted them to see what it really means to be a servant. He wanted them to see what it means to forsake everything you've ever been taught and completely humble yourself down to the point where you can literally worship God with complete purity in your heart. And he washed their feet. And I'm going to get to this just in a second, but this blows my mind every time I read this story. He didn't wash just Peter's feet. He didn't wash just John's feet or Matthew's feet. He washed all 12 pair of feet. He washed Judas's feet. How humble can you get to wash the man who's going to betray you and you wash his dirty feet? Jesus humbled himself. He washed their feet to answer the question. You go back and you read just before this account in Luke and Matthew, and you have two disciples who are fighting over who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom of God. They're asking, can I sit by you on the throne? Can I be the next in charge with you? And here he is bowing down to wash their feet. He's giving the answer. That if you're going to follow me and you're going to serve me, it's not about sitting on the right hand of the throne. It's about humbling your knee and serving somebody else and telling them about the goodness of Jesus. He washed their feet to show what he meant when he said the Son of Man did not come to be served, but he came to serve. He washed their feet to show them that if they would not humble themselves to others the way he did, they could not serve him. Christ demands us to humble ourselves in the way that he did. He demands us to be truly willing to humble ourselves to the point where we can put away all of our selfish pride. We can lay everything aside and we can truly do the job that nobody else really wants to do. And we can serve him in that capacity. And it may be washing, literally washing somebody's feet. Are we willing to humble ourselves like Jesus did? Are we willing to wash feet today? Are we willing to clean the toilet? Are we willing to take food to a hungry person? Are we willing to drive a shut-in to a doctor's appointment? Are we willing just to be a good neighbor and go talk to somebody because they might be lonely? But do we let other things get in our way? For far too long, we've neglected the responsibility of the church. You see, when we humble ourselves like Jesus did, we come to true humility. And true humility only grows out of a relationship with the Father. If our desire is to know and do the Father's will so that we might glorify His name, then we will experience the joy of following Christ's examples and serving Him. See, the point of humbling Himself before His disciples was to do one and one thing only, and that was to glorify the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Jesus' act of washing their feet was glorifying the Father, because it was showing that even Jesus, the Son of God, was willing to serve people in this capacity so that one more person could hear the gospel message. And I just kind of want to just believe that there was some part of Jesus that was just hoping that by washing Judas's feet, that Judas may change his mind. Not that he would not be crucified, but because Judas, the one he loved, would not betray, because he loved Judas. And he wanted the same thing for Judas that he wants for all of us. And that's salvation. But it says earlier that Judas's heart had already been hardened at that point. But Jesus still washed his feet. Jesus still loved him. Serving others is truly what it means to serve Christ. We as Christians have somehow forgotten that to truly be obedient to God, we must deny ourselves and take up the cross. And sometimes taking up the cross of Jesus means laying everything down that we're used to. Laying down our status, laying down our pride, laying down our selfishness, laying down everything that we've been taught in American culture, and willing to set it aside and go serve someone else. Because to serve Jesus, we have to take up that cross. And sometimes that cross is to change our lives completely like it changed His. Sometimes we have to take up that cross and be willing to lay down and do the dirty job that nobody else wants to do. Sometimes taking up that cross means setting aside our pride and going across boundaries that we don't want to cross, because Jesus crossed boundaries. Jesus healed on the Sabbath day so that the man would know who Jesus was. Jesus healed the blind man not just so he could have vision. He healed the blind man so the blind man would know who the Father is. We have to cross some lines sometimes to represent the Father. And we have to lay ourselves aside to do it. We today, just like the disciples that night, desperately need this lesson on humility. The church is filled with a worldly spirit of competition, wanting to be the best, but not truly understanding what the best is. We are growing in knowledge, but we're not growing in grace. Grace is what it's about to be a Christian. We all need knowledge. You need the knowledge of Jesus. You need to read your Bible every day and just absorb it like a sponge. But that knowledge without practice is not doing a whole lot for us. But by grace, we can go out and we can serve Jesus in the way He served us. By grace, we can put aside the things that we don't want to do and do them anyway to serve Jesus. At His birth, Christ emptied Himself. He let go of and laid aside His heavenly glory and the privilege He enjoyed as God the Son. That night in the upper room, He emptied Himself. He removed His outer garment in complete humility. He washed the feet of His disciples. the Son of God, who was there when Jesus, when God said, let there be a sun, let there be a moon, let there be a mountain, let there be an animal, let there be a human. The Son of God who saw all of that come in. The Son of God who saw Moses lead the children of Israelite out. The Son of God who saw the miracles of the Old Testament. The Son of God who healed the blind, raised the dead. The Son of God kneeled down before 12 dirty men. And he washed their feet. But Bill, I don't want to do that. There have been a lot of times in life I didn't want to do things. But we don't have the option. Because if he was willing to come and die for us, are we not willing to do what he's asked us to do? 1 John 2:6 says, whoever says that he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. Whoever abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. So that says if I'm going to call myself a Christian, I got to walk like Jesus walked? Yeah. I got to do the things Jesus did? Yeah. I don't expect nobody in here to go heal the blind today or raise the dead. If you can, that's kind of cool. I don't expect anybody to take a few pieces of bread and some fish and feed 5,000 people. But if you got some bread and some fish, you can invite somebody over for dinner. If you got a little extra gas money, you might can buy somebody a little extra gas at the gas station. You might can go walk a mile with somebody because they just need a friend today. That's what it means to live like Jesus. I don't expect you to die on a cross. It wouldn't do no good. You're not going to resurrect yourself from the dead, so you can't do that. But you can live like Jesus, and you can show humility to all mankind. Jesus was not prejudiced that night. He washed all the feet. We cannot merely sit in our seats and claim to be a Christian and not walk like he walked. We must humble ourselves to him and take action to live like he lived. You know, it would be great today after this service if half of y'all come up to me and said, Bill, I want to surrender to mission in the Congo. I'd tell you to send me a postcard and I'd pray for you every day. Or if the other half wanted to come up to me and say, Bill, I want to surrender to full-time ministry and I want to preach the gospel. I'd hug you, I'd love you, and I'd pray for you every day. I don't expect that to happen today. But let me tell you what can happen today. What can happen today is you can say, I'm going to humble myself before Jesus and I'm going to serve him in however he wants me to serve him. I'm going to serve him in ways that glorify God and don't glorify me. Because when we want to glorify ourselves, we're not glorifying God. And our job is to glorify God. Our job is to raise him up. When we humbly serve others, we walk in God's path of holiness. The world in which we live in thinks happiness is a result of others serving us. In reality, real joy only comes when we serve other people in the name of Jesus Christ. That's when true joy comes. Not because you're forced to, not because you're made to do it. That's not true joy. True joy is when you're willing to humble yourself to serve others the way Christ served. That is true joy. If Jesus was willing to leave heaven and die a very brutal death upon the cross, is it asking too much for us to humble ourselves and serve him by serving others? For far too long, the church has sat by stiff-necked and watched people be ensnared by the lies of Satan and dragged to a devil's hell because we were too prideful, we were too arrogant, and we were too selfish to give a reaching hand to a brother or sister in need. We were doing our part. We were attending church. That's all I had to do as a Christian. That's not all we have to do as a Christian. That's all you have to do to be a church tender. To be a Christian, you have to walk like Jesus walked. You see, the servant is no greater than the master if the master becomes a slave. Where does that put the slave then? It puts him on the same level as the master. When Jesus bowed his knee that day to wash the feet, he said, it's an equal playing field. We're all equal. We all can serve together. We all can wash feet together. We all can lift up people together. There is no such thing as not being able to serve if Jesus could serve. He lifted us up. He lifted us up so we could serve the dirty, so we could serve the poor, so we could serve the rich, we could serve the kind, but we can also serve the hateful. He was not prejudiced that night. He washed all 12 pair of feet. Anybody ever hurt you? Anybody ever did anything to you and you kind of want to hold a grudge for a little while? I have. I'm guilty of it. There are some people, they did some things to me, and it took me a long time to get over it. It really did. I ain't going to lie to you. Like to the point where I didn't even want to go to Walmart because I was scared I was going to run into them. And I wasn't real sure I wasn't going to get arrested if I did run into them. That's the way I felt about them. But they never sold me out for 30 pieces of silver. They may have hurt my feelings. They may have said some unkind things about me. But they didn't trade me in for 30 pieces of silver to be crucified. But the man who was going to trade him in just literally minutes after this, within an hour, was going to go trade him in for 30 pieces of silver. I don't know if he washed Judas's feet first or if he washed them last or if he was somewhere in the middle, but he still knelt down and he grabbed his dirty foot and he put it in the water and he washed it just like he washed the other 11. Why? Because if my Savior can love the man who's going to trade him in for 30 pieces of silver, says Bill Harbison, you can love the man who talks about you. Bill Harbison, you can love the man who did you wrong. Bill Harbison, you can love the man who hurt your family. Because Jesus was willing to humble himself and love the man that was going to sell him. That's humility. That's service. We can do it. Not all jobs are glitter and roses. Some are not fun. But all are important because they all glorify Jesus. And at the end of the day, it's all about glorifying the King. It's not about Bill, it's not about Lee, it's not about Church of the Rockies, it's not about the Southern Baptist Convention, it's about glorifying the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, it's about glorifying Jesus Christ. And how do we do that? We get ourselves to the point where we can humbly serve Jesus. Now, I have struggled with this sermon this week. I have struggled with it all week trying to get it together. Because I know what it sounds like. I've sat in the audience with a sermon like this. Some of you might be squinching your toes up right now. But that was not my intention. I don't want to downplay this. I don't want to make you think here sets Bill high and mighty lifted up and I'm preaching down to you. That ain't what I want to do. I don't want to convict a single person in here today of how you're serving or what you're not doing. I just wanted to preach that for us to serve Jesus, we may have to take a knee, and we may have to bow down, and we may have to do things that I don't want to do. There's a lot of things I do in ministry I do not want to do, and I don't do them for Bill, and I don't do them for Lee, and I don't do them for Church of the Rock. I do them because I feel a conviction in my heart that Jesus is leading me to do them. And if Jesus convicts your heart today, that's what I want. But how do we serve? In 1 Corinthians 12, Paul compares the church to the body. And there are several parts to the body, and they're all different, and they all do different things. But nobody really wants to be the foot. I mean, you think about it. I mean, if you get to choose what part of the body, I mean, I'm going for like the eyes. Get to see all the stuff. Nobody wants to be the foot, stuck in a sock, stuck in a shoe all day, or stuck in a sandal walking around in the dirt. But somebody has got to be the foot. Because without a foot, guess what? You can't stand. So somebody's got to be the foot. But when you got all the parts together, they all work together. The eye wouldn't get to see a whole lot if the foot couldn't carry the person to see it, could they? The ears couldn't hear a whole lot if the foot couldn't carry them to hear or to touch or to smell. So the foot's just as important. We can't have all eyes. We can't have all just ears. We can't have all hands. Some of us has got to be the foot or the top of the head or the back or that little dangly thing in my throat that I still don't know what does. But when you put them all together, it begins to work like a body. When I was about 10 or 11, I decided that I wanted to be a woodworker. So I saved up my money, and I went and bought me a circular saw and 1 2-by-4. And I got home, and I realized that you can't do a whole lot with 1 2-by-4. You can cut it up, but you can't do a lot with just one board. Kind of like these 2x6s right here. 1 2x6 by itself don't do a whole lot. But when you start putting one beside the other, and you start putting braces off of them, and you start putting rafters on top of them, you know what starts to happen? You can hold up a building with a 2x6. We got proof of it right here around us. When you do a little bit of what God wants you to do, and I do a little bit of what God wants me to do, and we all work together and we serve God, you know what happens? We begin to serve God as a family. We begin to serve God as a unit, as a body. And when we begin to serve God, great things will happen. And you may be asking yourself, how can I serve? Well, this is just a few ways that you can serve. I didn't list them all because I wanted it all on one slide. 4th of July Rodeo. Archery camp, Robert's Christmas store, Trunk or Treat, mission trip to Canada, Jim Bridger days, Iron Horse Rodeo, Vacation Bible School, are all outreach events that we go into the community and we serve our community to represent who? Not Church of the Rockies, but Jesus Christ. But then we have ministry team leaders, and that's what some of these tables were today, is ministry team leaders who have set up a table so that you can see how you can serve here in the church. Common Ground, held every Monday night in Roberts. If you can cook, you can clean, you can wipe a table, you can wash a dish, you can come to Common Ground. Hospitality, that coffee don't make itself every morning or every Sunday morning. People can make coffee. I can make coffee. First impressions, people that greet you at the door, safety, nursery, thank God for nursery, praise God, hallelujah for nursery. 212, we have a wonderful kids ministry out there in that metal building. Building and grounds, somebody's got to cut the grass and shovel the snow. Benevolence, there's always people in need. And we sound good today because we have an audiovisual team. There's more things I could put up here, but I didn't. We can all serve in some capacity. There's something we can do. And I know all them jobs ain't glamorous and they're not glorious, but somebody's got to do them. We all got to do our part. We all got to work together. Because when we all work together doing that, we form a building. And we form the church. And we become like Jesus. After the service this morning, those tables are still going to be there. The ministry team leaders, myself, we're going to go back there. If you have questions, you want to know more how you can serve, I'd love to talk to you this morning. Perhaps you are that person that I was speaking of earlier who may feel God speaking to you today about full-time ministry, about going into the pastoral ministry, evangelism. Maybe you want to be a missionary. I'd love to talk to you about that this morning. That's so awesome. It really is. I will jump up and down when somebody comes and says, hey, I feel the call to ministry. We can all serve. We're not all Billy Grahams. We're not all great speakers. But I thank God for the people in that nursery today. And I thank God for the people in that 212 building. And I thank God for the people who are going to serve food tomorrow night at Common Ground. And for the youth workers. and the singers and the coffee makers and the handshakers, because they all work together to make this a wonderful church to worship our risen Lord and Savior in. Verse 17 of John 13 says, "Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." Man, that's just one of them, you can't get around that. You know about it, He wants you to do it. The disciples, they did not fully understand what Jesus meant when He said that night He washed their feet. But in just a few days, when He resurrected from the dead, it all kind of made sense. They began to serve others in all kind of ways. The New Testament church began because brothers and sisters got together and they shared what they had with one another. And they bore each other's burdens. And they lifted each other up. And they built each other, and the gospel spread. Because of those early Christians' unselfishness, they were blessed. And their blessings poured over till today because somebody told somebody who told somebody who told somebody, and the word traveled, and we became a Christian because of what they were doing back then. Because somebody told us about the love of Jesus. Because somebody spread the good news. It's time we bless others with the same great news that Jesus Christ is the way to heaven. James 1:22 says, "Don't just hear the word, but do what it says." The literal verse says, "Don't be just hearers of the word, but to be doers of the word." It's time that we quit just hearing and we begin doing. The Word tells us to serve others. Time of doing that is now. The time of serving others is now. Jesus was sent to serve to show us how we are sent to serve.